All right. Well, thank you for joining us tonight here at Shalom Shalom Messianic Congregation. I'm Todd Baker, the lead pastor and also president of Berit Chadashah Ministries here in Dallas, Texas. We're glad you could join us. We started a little early tonight, but we are doing our 54th Gospel Outreach to Israel presentation, part two, and we're going to cover our ministry in Haifa, the beautiful northwestern coastal city in Israel, and then, of course, in Jerusalem. So we're glad you're here. Hopefully everything is, the volume is better than last week. It was horrible, but we fixed it, and it should be good now. I'm told it's good, and we are glad you're with us. Just a few things before we start. Let me get my newsletter over here. Sorry for going out of camera shot. Folks, our summer 2023 Search the Scriptures newsletter edition of Berit Chadashah Ministries is out. And in this edition, we talk about the providence and favor of God for the gospel in Israel. And we cover a couple selected stories from our March gospel outreach in Israel. And I think you'll like that. The second article, we continue our expository study of the parable of the wicked husbandman, part 8, Matthew 21, 33 through 34. And then we have an article on why did Luke write his gospel. This is a free newsletter, and we publish it quarterly. This is the summer 2023 edition. If you're interested in getting this newsletter, then you can go to our website at searchthescripturesonline.org. Click on the newsletter link, sign up for it. You can either get it via email, you'll get the color version, or you get, if you want the snail mail version, you get the black and white. So it is available for you. And folks, part of our ministry here at Shalom is to teach the Jewish roots of the Christian faith and teach the sound preaching of God's word with emphasis on showing the Jewish roots of the Christian faith. So our ministry is twofold. Number one, we teach the word of God faithfully, soundly. And also, we carry out Jewish evangelism. We believe in following Romans 1:16. The gospel is to go to the Jew first. And very few ministries and churches are doing this today. They just forget the Jews. Yeah, well, you know, they assume that they're not going to believe in Jesus anyway corporately. So why bother going to them individually then? And that is really unbiblical. I think there's some latent anti-Semitism behind that. And bias. If anything, the Jews need to be the first people group to hear the gospel, because Jesus told the Samaritan woman in John 4, 21, 22, salvation is of the Jews. And he's saying that to a Gentile person. And Jesus set the precedent for going to the Jew first in Matthew chapters 10 and 15. In chapter 10 of Matthew, he sends his disciples out. And he says, do not go into the way of the Samaritan or to the Gentile, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In Matthew 15, when he's implored by the Syrophoenician woman for healing, Jesus tested her faith. He said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So when we say to the Jew first, we're not saying in exclusion of the Gentiles. Not at all, because as you will see here and as you've seen in these presentations before, we do go to non-Jewish people in Israel, but our first audience is the chosen people of Israel. The Apostle Paul, wherever he went throughout the Roman Empire to carry out his ministry as the apostle to the Gentiles, where did he go first when he came to a new place in a new region? He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day to proclaim that Jesus is Messiah from the Scriptures. He went to the Jew first, even though he is the apostle to the Gentiles. And we know about Peter. He was the apostle to the circumcision, the Jewish people. And so that is the precedent laid down by the Lord himself. Go to the Jew first. And then, of course, Paul tells us in Romans 1:16, the gospel is to go to the Jew first. And that has no expiration date on it. It still holds true today. It is the divine order of evangelism given in the Great Commission. The gospel is to go to the Jew first, and that's what we do. Jewish evangelism is a big part of this ministry. We've been going to Israel now for 22 years, and this is our 54th gospel outreach. And but before I delve into that, folks, if you'd like to visit us, you can on my Facebook page, Todd Baker. We broadcast live from Northwest Bible Church every Shabbat, every Friday evening, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. If you would like to come visit us here at the church, we meet in the Christian Life Center, third floor, room 301. And the church is located at 8505 Douglas Avenue, Dallas, Texas, 75231. And folks, we certainly could use your prayers that this ministry will continue in these last days. And to do that, we need your support as well. I was telling somebody in here before the service, it seems like every time I go to Israel, donations drop. I don't know why. You would think they would increase, right? But ironically, they decrease. So we do need your support. I make no apologies about that. 1 Corinthians 9:14 says that they who preach the gospel should live or be supported by the gospel. We're not buying mansions. We're not buying expensive foreign cars. We're not promising you that when you give, God's going to bless you and make you wealthy like the false teachers of the health and wealth gospel do. And they are false teachers. You give because you want to see people saved, first and foremost among the people of Israel and any. But in the eyes of God, a lost soul is precious, whether it's Jew or Gentile. But God has us go to the Jew first because that's what he commands in his word. That's the precedent the Lord Jesus set and the apostles followed. All 12 followed him. Well, you could add 13. Paul the apostle was the 13th, technically speaking. But all the apostles, and there are no more apostles like them today. That's another error that's pervading the church. These people claiming to be apostles with the same authority and with the same authority and divine calling as the 12. Well, it's not true. We've talked about that before in the book of Ephesians when Paul says the apostles are the foundation of the church. You only lay a foundation once. You don't keep putting a foundation on top of a foundation. So the apostles, all 13 of them, were unique in their office. And their office continues today through the scriptures they have given us. So that's another story. If you would like to help us, please consider supporting us. Any donation, large or small, is appreciated. Any amount counts. And if you would like to do that, again, you can go to our donate link that I've provided there below the title of tonight's message. Click on that, take you to SecureLink. And by the way, we have a QR code now. So you can scan that and I forgot to bring the copy of that tonight, so I'll have to do it next time. But it does work on the website. It has been tested. So we do have a QR code. It'll take you right to where you need to donate. But please help us out, folks. We need support for operational costs, living, and carrying out this ministry. And so we appreciate you doing that. And, of course, each donation is tax deductible since we're a 501(c) organization. All right, well, let's get into this. So where we left off, we had just finished ministry in Tel Aviv, Netanya, and Tiberias, or the Galilee. And so on June 27th, last month, we then went to Haifa. Haifa is a beautiful northwestern coastal city. The best way I can describe it, it has much the same topography as San Francisco. Very hilly, very steep hills. You have to drive on and walk and so forth. It's really a miniature San Francisco. And unfortunately, they've got sexual perversion there like they do in San Francisco with the gay pride flag flying everywhere in June. But we take the gospel to all people because all are lost, whether straight or homosexual, and they need to repent of their sins and come to faith in Yeshua. Amen. And if you really love the lost, you will do that. You will share the gospel with them. You will witness to them. And we love Israel. And the best way you can show that love, the best way you can be philo-Semitic, is by sharing eternal life in Yeshua with them. So that, of course, compelled us to go to Haifa. And unfortunately, when Dr. August Rosado and myself, when we arrived in Haifa, he fell to the same illness I had 3 days prior, a virulent stomach virus. So August was down like I was for about a day and a half. And like he, while recuperating at our hotel, the Lord beautifully guided my steps to minister the gospel to the Jewish and Arab people of Haifa. And the Lord first led me to speak to Tal, the hotel manager here at our hotel. I thanked him for the hotel service and accommodations toward me for the last 15 years that I have visited Haifa and stayed at the Dan Panorama. And to show my appreciation, I told him, I shared with him the gospel of Yeshua the Messiah with him, explaining how Messiah's two comings has direct impact on the Jewish people. Their regathering is in preparation for his return, Deuteronomy 31 through 3. But I hasten to tell Tal that one can know this Messiah now. He is none other than Yeshua, God's unique son. I showed Tal some of the first coming messianic prophecies Yeshua fulfilled from the Promised Messiah pamphlet that we carry, written in Hebrew and English. Tal thanked me for the brief drosh and took a complete Hebrew study Bible from me on behalf of him and the staff at the hotel. As I said before, these Hebrew study Bibles are all in Hebrew. They have the Tanakh and the Brit Hadashah in them, and they have very enlightening appendices. And one appendix in that Bible in the back is a comprehensive treatment of messianic. It's about 20 pages. And now you can take your phone and translate what it says from Hebrew to English. So we know pretty much what it says when we give them to them. And these are provided by Samuel Shmazda, president and CEO of Sar-El Tours in Israel. Sar-El Tours is a very prominent tour company. Because he learned about what we did through August, he met August a couple of years ago at our hotel. I was up in the room journaling. Samuel was said what I just said earlier. Nobody is doing this in Israel. The Messianics are not doing it. They're afraid. You know, they've got Yad Lakim and Jews for Judaism. They're strong-arming them. We were promising them not to proselytize so they can keep their nonprofit status. And Samuel said, you know, the Messianics are not witnessing to their fellow Jews over here. The Gentile church is not doing it. And Messianics from America are not doing it. But because you guys have been doing this as long as you have, we want to provide you with our free Bibles. And they print these things up. Now, I didn't bring one tonight. They're very heavy, and I've got enough stuff in my case. But they're about $80 to $100 range Bibles. So these are nice Bibles that we give to the Jewish people. Next, I visited Beth Shalom Hotel, where this ministry stayed in the past while visiting Haifa. I happened to be able to minister to Sana, an Arab woman and desk receptionist at the hotel. She has worked there for 35 years, she told me. She remembered me from past visits. I broached the subject about reading the Word of God in the original Hebrew, which she can do. She knows three languages, Hebrew being one of them. And by reading it in the original Hebrew, then you can also see in dazzling color the amazing Messiah, Jesus, in its divinely inspired pages. Sana expressed great interest. So as a gift for her 35 years of public service, I gave her a complete Hebrew Bible with an Arabic gospel track for her to be spiritually edified while spending long hours manning the front desk at the hotel. She's Arabic Catholic, but I wanted to make sure she knows the gospel and she understands what one must do to be saved. Amen. Reinforce that with the Word of God given to her. Well, leaving there, being a daily tea drinker, this is a picture I took while walking back to a small mall next to the hotel. I walk by the promenade there. That's the near our hotel. And Haifa is a big maritime commercial center in the Mediterranean, let alone Israel. So, all right. So being a daily tea drinker, I spotted a tea shop called Pure Built Blend located in a small indoor mall adjacent to the hotel. The shop owner was Vadim, right here, who immigrated to Israel from the Ukraine when he was 4 years old, for his kindness and expertise on fine teas and for helping me buy the right kind of tea. I told him I wanted to give him the gift of God's complete word about Yeshua the Messiah, foretold in the Tanakh and revealed in the Brit Hadashah. My witness to Vadim covered a broad range of topics, from repentance, salvation by faith alone in Yeshua the Messiah, messianic prophecy, and God's past, present, and future plan for Israel, centered around the first and second comings of Jesus the Messiah. The Lord gave me a good 25 minutes of uninterrupted ministry with Vadim, and not without one single customer walking in. And usually that's a busy area, a busy shop too. Vadim jumped at the opportunity of taking a Hebrew Bible from me with the appendices that I mentioned earlier, and messianic reading materials that go into greater depth of what we discussed concerning Messiah Jesus and his glorious kingdom. And in return, Vadim gave me a free pouch of tea of my choosing. I'd already bought one, so he gave me a free one. I've already had that tea since I've been home. It is awesome. He imports these teas mainly from the Orient, but they're really great. So by God's grace and Lord willing, we'll return and do some follow-up ministry with him next time we're in Haifa. But thank you, Lord, for answering my prayer and giving us favor with the people of Israel so they will hear and accept God's saving word in Yeshua, the Messiah. Vadim said amen to what I shared with him concerning the gospel truths of Messiah. He said this was the first time he had heard such things. So pray the word of God will take root mixed with faith in the life of this open and receptive young man, that his eyes will be enlightened to see the hope of the calling in Christ Jesus and what are the riches of his glory and inheritance of those saved trusting in him, Ephesians 1:18. So our last day of ministry in Haifa brought us to the Grand Canyon Mall. We go there often in Haifa because it's a good spiritual fishing hole. And August had told me he needed to get a new cover for his iPhone. So he tells me this. We walk in and not 5 minutes later, there's a phone accessory place with a wide variety of phone covers to choose from. That's a divine appointment, folks. His needing a new iPhone cover obviously provided a segue for us to share the gospel. And sure enough, not even 5 minutes of being inside the mall, we walked straight to a phone accessory shop. August bought a new phone cover, and we were able to share the gospel with Eden here. The sales were at working there. God opened her heart to hear about the things of the gospel spoken by us. She welcomed receiving a complete Hebrew Bible and study materials why Jewish people should believe Yeshua is the biblical Messiah. Later, we had another excellent opportunity when visiting a skin care product shop where we ministered the gospel to a young lady by the name of Amit. I ended up buying some soap there, which afforded us time to again make the case for Yeshua being the Messiah of Israel based on the biblical evidence of his fulfilling first coming messianic prophecy, all of it. Amit was totally amicable to further investigating what we told her by also receiving the complete Hebrew Bible from us to read and study on her own. Now, the next encounter was just awe-inspiring. This is probably one of the highlights of this trip. The Lord next led us to have an awe-inspiring witness with Sigal, pictured here. A Jewish lady that owns a skincare product shop in the Grand Canyon Mall. She's been there for 17 years. She was utterly thrilled and excited at hearing from us that we bring God's word about Yeshua the Messiah back to the Jewish people in the land of Israel. She had no problem accepting the truth that the Bible's two covenants, and you know what those two are, in the Tanakh and Brit Hadashah, are joined, fulfilled, completed, and bridged by Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. We went on to say to her, the God of Israel and his unique and only divine son, Yeshua HaMashiach, tasked and commissioned us with coming back to the people of the land, of the book, to give them the word of this Messiah revealed in the Hebrew Scriptures. Upon that declaration, August and I presented Sigal with a complete Jewish Bible. She raised her hands, literally, and clapped them with overwhelming joy, expressing repeatedly thanks to us that we would give her such an impressive Hebrew study Bible. Sigal's heart was opened by the Spirit of God to receive His word from us with great joy, exuberance, and tears of happiness, knowing full well all the time Yeshua awaits to meet her in this word from the Old Testament to the New Testament and all 66 books of the Bible. She was very enthusiastic. Again, she'd never heard this before. Isn't that a shame? The church has completely failed and dropped the ball when it has come to trying to reach the Jewish people with the gospel. They either don't do it at all or they do it all wrong. You have to, when you preach the gospel to the Jewish people, you have to put it within its Hebraic context. If you start speaking Christianese, they're not going to know what you're saying. You're speaking Chinese to them. And too many times these groups go over there with a loudspeaker or a bullhorn, and just start blaring away. And that only creates hostility, tension, and it closes doors. Our method, I think, is the best because we're going to each person. We're meeting them where they're at, and we're telling them what Yeshua did for them. And to certify that, don't take our word for it, but rather read God's inerrant word concerning them, which He gave to you and used you to record it for the world. And we're simply bringing it back and returning the favor. August and I were blown away and awed at how God is opening the hearts of those in Israel to receive Yeshua's good news with unsuppressible joy and gladness and singleness of heart, Acts 2:46. All right, moving on. By the way, sometimes when we finish evangelism for the day, we will go to a biblical site and teach there. And we did 7 YouTube teachings on this outreach. If you are interested in watching those teachings on YouTube, you can go to my website. They're on my Facebook page. They're all there. Or August, his website, his YouTube page. Type in August Rosado and Todd Baker, and a whole slew of, we've done, I don't know, close to 100 teachings so far. But we decided to go to, after that triumphant ministry in Grand Canyon Mall, we decided to go to Tel Aphek, A-F-E-K. Aphek is where the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant from Israel, 1 Samuel 4:1. At that point in time, the Israelites viewed the Ark as a good luck charm, an amulet of sorts, rather than just trust in the God of Israel. They thought that the Ark itself guaranteed them victory, regardless of their behavior towards the Lord. They felt like that assured them victory. Well, it did not, because as you know, the Philistines took the Ark of the Covenant, and they were plagued with hemorrhoids. Each Philistine city that took the Ark, they were plagued. God sent it, by the way. The God of love, the liberals love to proclaim, He sent hemorrhoids upon the Philistines. And that's what it says in the Hebrew text. So, that was God's judgment on them. Yes, God is a God of love, but He's also a God of judgment, righteousness, and wrath. Something the liberal church, if you want to call them a church, forgets. They take one attribute of God, love, and just superimpose it over everything else, and that's all He is. No, He's not. God is equally righteous. He's equally wrathful as He is equally loving. Take all the attributes together in equal force. But we talk about at Tel Aphek that situation that happened. And we also show from that practically that religion, denominations, religious amulets, and shrines do not take a person to heaven. They do not garner God's favor. Only faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of Israel, can one be put right before a holy God. So So there's Tel Afek. That was some of the instruments. That's a winnowing fan, and that's the winnowing. I forgot the name of it. It's where you sift the chaff from the wheat, reminding us of what John the Baptist said when he said his winnowing fan is in his hand even now, and he will separate the chaff from the wheat. And that is Tel Afek right there. A tel, T-E-L, is a man-made archaeological mound that occurs over a long period of time where a city has been built over on top of the older city, and then it's repeated until you have basically a man-made hill. So this is walking through Afek. All right, now back to ministry. So August and I, the next day, had a fabulous day of ministry from Haifa, Dor, and finally Jerusalem for this last phase of this 54th gospel outreach. The Spirit of God led us to the first to minister to a man by the name of Albert. He was in the morning when we were leaving Haifa for Jerusalem. We gave our maitre d' Albert a Bible and Arabic gospel tract as an expression of our gratitude for his hospitality. We briefly went over the life of Esau in an Arabic gospel tract that we gave him and how that life can save those who place their trust in this wonderful Savior. So he was Arab Muslim. Okay, so the Spirit of God led us to the ancient maritime city of Dor, D-O-R, an ancient Phoenician city captured by Joshua and the armies of Israel during the conquest. Joshua 17:11 mentions the city of Dor. It was also an official and main maritime port of the Mediterranean and Israel during the time of King Solomon and throughout the Old Testament. The Lord allowed us to give a solid testimony about the redemption found in Yeshua the Messiah and his coming millennial kingdom over the earth, reigning from Jerusalem, Isaiah 2, 1 and 2, Revelation 20, 2 through 7. All three park rangers at Dior that we shared the gospel with were fascinated to learn these biblical truths from both testaments of the Hebrew Bible. This powerful gospel witness was open when we told this man here, Maxim, and his co-workers, Peleg and Moore, that Dor, the ancient maritime city of Dor, is mentioned six times in the Bible. Joshua 11:2, Joshua 12:23, Joshua 17:11, Judges 1:27, 1 Kings 4:11, 1 Chronicles 7:29, all mentions this ancient city, Dor. As we gave all three Hebrew Bibles and Messianic Gospel tracts to these three, August and I said Yeshua was, is, and will be forever Jewish. And to believe in him as Messiah for salvation and eternal life is the most Jewish thing a person could do. We quoted Matthew 5:17, where Jesus says, "Think not that I came to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill." The park rangers were extremely grateful, and each one accepted the scriptures, hungry to learn more about the one Moses and the prophets wrote about. So this is a Maxim. I talked with him first, and then after we did our teaching at Dor, our YouTube video teaching at Dor, we went back in, and August and I felt led to talk to the two other workers there at this national park in Israel, if we can go to that. There's some information on Dor. There was a shipyard, which you'll see in a minute, an ancient shipyard. And that is the remains of it. Beautiful area. Water's turquoise color. And that's August walking through the ruins there. And this was a temple built in first century AD by the Romans. That's the ruins of it. That's the drawing of, there's an entrance to that temple. Ruins again of the temple compound. And that's standing on the base of it, looking out into the Mediterranean. And there was a white horse there. All right, and these are the other two employees at the national park that we witnessed to. You see, she's looking through the Bible and the Messianic materials we gave both of them. And there, that's Moore and Peleg, respectively. All right. They were intrigued. There you go. Isn't that great? So we finally get to Jerusalem. And after checking in our hotel, not minutes later, August and I struck up a cordial conversation with Maya. She's right here. Maya. And we simply said that the God of Israel frequently sends us to the chosen people in Israel to return and give the Jewish scriptures in both testaments back to them, and at the same time declare from this word Yeshua is Israel's Messiah. When we gave Maya a Hebrew Bible, her co-worker Ariel came up and said, "I want one too, I want one too." That's Ariel at the end there. And of course, we wrote some stuff in there for them. And Ariel listened as we informed him the Bible is the story of God's redemption of sinners through Yeshua the Messiah. We then talked about the first prophecy about the Messiah in the scriptures called the Proto-Evangelium, Genesis 3:16, and how this messianic seed wielded total victory over Satan the serpent, which was accomplished by Yeshua crucified and risen from the dead. At one point, Ariel offered us money for the Bible, but we absolutely refused, telling him, "Freely we have received, and now freely we give," Matthew 10:1. Both Maya and Ariel were amazingly ebullient and overjoyed to receive these complete Bibles from us to find salvation in Yeshua's God's Son and the King of the Jews within its illuminating pages. So these people of Israel are open. Well, next day, ministry, which was our first full day in Jerusalem, fell on Erev Shabbat. Erev Shabbat, the eve of Shabbat, Friday morning and afternoon. August and myself went first to the Mamilla Mall on our way to the Kotel, where the Western Wall, where we had a prayer and deposited written prayer requests in the wall itself. While there, we also left a complete Hebrew Bible with Messianic gospel tracts in the synagogue. And August, placed a Bible in the synagogue adjacent to the wall. So we also had a ministry of two young Israelis working in the shops of the Mamilla Mall. We had a nice instructive exchange with Stav. There she is. Learning that we are Bible teachers in the land of Israel prompted us to tell her God wants his ancient people to know through his word he gave them his son, Yeshua the Messiah, revealed through both testaments of the Hebrew scriptures. Stav responded by saying she thought the New Testament was the Christian Bible, whereas the Jewish Bible does not accept this addition. So how do you answer that? Because the rabbis teach this nonsense. Gently, we corrected her of that erroneous notion fostered by the deceived rabbis. Once we told her the new covenant is mentioned in the Jewish Bible and that God promised to give the Berit Chadashah, the new covenant, to Israel, Stav completely changed her mind. Jeremiah 31:31-34 clearly has the Lord saying he will make a Berit Chadashah, a new covenant with the house of Israel. So it is for the Jewish people. And the rabbis are blatantly contradicting the word of God. So what is in the New Testament is first and foremost for the Jewish people. This is what we told her in response. Staub accepted such clear evidence and unhesitatingly accepted a complete Hebrew Bible with a New Testament. In joy and openness to see the connection Yeshua brings to the whole of Scripture, completing divine revelation once and for all. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. And it's interesting, the same exact issue came up with Dana at another shop, the second Israeli young lady we witnessed to. The same exact thing. She too was under the misguided opinion the New Testament was not a part of the Hebrew Bible. By the Holy Spirit's power, Augustine and I pointed out it was written by all Jews about the Messiah of Israel. Further, we reiterated the prophecy of Jeremiah 31:31-34, stating the New Covenant or the New Testament is promised by God to the Jewish people. Dana saw this, changed her mind, and warmly welcomed receiving a Hebrew Bible from this ministry, which includes a New Testament. God's word was triumphant on this day over the traditions of the rabbis, refuting the ridiculous notion the New Testament is not for the Jews, when in point of fact, it has an integral connection with the Old Testament. Amen. And thanks to this ministry, those Jewish people we are sent to are seeing this most of the time for the first time. Again, where is the church? They're too busy teaching the church has replaced Israel, some, you know, heretical doctrine like that, which is anti-Semitism. You can, you know, people who say, oh, well, the Jews can still get saved, but they have to belong to the church. Well, if they get saved in the present age, true. But that doesn't divorce nor negate God's future with the nation of Israel. They need to read Romans 9 through 11 with particular emphasis on Romans 11, 1 and 2, where Paul anticipates such an anti-Semitic idea that God has cast away his people due to their unbelief towards Yeshua. And Paul answers, God forbid, may it never be. All right, moving on. Well, praise God. On July 1st, let's just go on. Yeah, and then we prayed here at the Kotel or the Western Wall. And the synagogue is right here. Well, I think we have a picture of that. Yep. You go in there and the Orthodox are praying on Erev Shabbat. And if we have an extra Bible, we do go in there and place it among the many volumes of the Jerusalem and Babylonian Talmuds, which cannot save a single soul, but the Word of God can. So we have to be discreet though. Although I did go in there with my Yeshua hat on and we had I'll tell you about that in a minute. Okay, this is the synagogue adjacent to the Western Wall. There's August after he placed that Bible right there. He's trying not to look obvious. There's us at the Western Wall. Now, as we were coming back from the wall, this young Orthodox kid who's been brainwashed against Yeshua saw our hat and he said, blank Yeshua, and he used the F word. It's that Orthodox kid. And he had such a look of hatred on his face. And without thinking, I said to him, Yeshua died for your sins. And he said it again, and I said the same thing again. And it looked like he was going to stop, but he kept going. And August told him, you need to be nice. But it's a light. Yeshua is a lightning rod, particularly among the ultra-Orthodox. And this is Jerusalem at night from our hotel. That's not the Star of Bethlehem. That's the moon. Notice the cross shape. August took that picture for me. He noticed the cross there, the forms of light, like a cross. It is a moon. Yeah. Okay, folks. Well, praise God. July 1st, August Rosado and I victoriously completed this ministry's 54th gospel outreach to Israel without any rejections. So this marks the third consecutive outreach where we've had no rejections. We've ministered to 121 consecutive Israelis and Arabs without any rejections. And we're not watering down the gospel. We're not telling them how you know, they can be rich and powerful and God can't deal without them. We don't Joel Osteen them in any way. We simply say we're all sinners. We're under the wrath of God. And in order to be reconciled to God, it requires a kippurah, an atonement. And this is why Mashiach came the first time, to be that atonement. And he fulfilled prophecies, first coming prophecies, one in particular, Isaiah 53. We don't cut any corners. And when the tracts we give them goes into greater detail with that. Your problem is sin. You need to be forgiven. You're headed for eternal ruin if you don't turn to Yeshua. So I can't explain why we haven't had any rejections. I know it's supernatural favor, and it's another indication that God is lifting the partial blindness from Israel's eyes. Of course, it won't be completely lifted until the second coming. So, but this is our third straight outreach without a rejection. And that totals to 112 people so far. The old record was 91 straight consecutive people we witnessed to without a rejection. Now it's 112. Actually, 113, because we thought we were done on this last day, but I'll get to that in a minute. So I'm calling this outreach a three-peat for the Trinity. You know how hard it is to three-peat in professional sports? Very, very rare. In baseball, the Oakland A's did it in the early 70s. The Yankees did it in the early 2000s. In hockey, the New York Islanders did it in the early 80s. In football, only the Green Bay Packers won three straight championships in the mid-60s. A three-peat is very hard to do in whatever serious endeavor. So our day of final gospel witness in the land began at Tel Lachish. Lachish was the second most important city next to Jerusalem in the kingdom of Judah. It was a city Joshua and the Israelites conquered during the conquest, Joshua 10, 32-34. The evil Assyrian king Sennacherib besieged Lachish, and you can see the mound where the Assyrians built it up to assail the walls. It's the oldest man-made military rampart or mound in the world, and you'll see it in a minute. The very one that the Assyrian armies built to scale the wall so they could breach the walls of Lachish in 701 BC, 2 Chronicles 32:9. Lachish was restored and re-inhabited under Nehemiah when the Jewish exiles returned from their captivity in Babylon, Nehemiah 11:30. As an act of faith, August Rosado and I felt led to visit this archaeological site and give a gospel witness and pass out a Hebrew Bible or two. We also went there to do a YouTube video teaching, which is now available on my Facebook page or August's YouTube channel. After doing a video there, we visited the ruins of the ancient Israelite city. You see there, and it was a ghost town. There's also on another hill within the ancient city, the palace of the kings of Judah that was built in 9 BC. So most of the kings of Judah had a palace in Lachish, which is about 30 miles southwest of Jerusalem. And this is, and there's the man-made mound that the Assyrians built up, and these are the Assyrian soldiers represented by this here with their arrows, and then the Jewish inhabitants of Lachish throwing stones down. But this is the actual military ramp that King Sennacherib had his armies build to scale the walls of Lachish, breach the walls, and take the city. So there you go. That's the Bible come alive. There's the ramp again as they went up it. City gate of the inner gate from the time of King Hezekiah. Right there. The royal palace. Kings of Judah had a royal palace there from the 9th century BC to the 6th century BC. And that's part of the remains of it. And that is the Sennacherib prism. On this, it states Sennacherib had this prism made, extolling himself for conquering Lachish. Although he doesn't say he conquered Jerusalem, he does say that he hemmed in King Hezekiah like a caged bird. And up to this point, the Assyrians had conquered most of the villages and cities of Judea. Isaiah 36 and 37, when they come to the city of Jerusalem, Sennacherib sent Rabshakeh to tell them that they have to surrender, that their God, the God of Israel, will not deliver them. And of course, Hezekiah went into prayer. Isaiah the prophet came and told him that Sennacherib, the blasphemer, will not take this city. And one night, the angel of the Lord went and struck down 185,000 Assyrian soldiers that were in Lachish and the surrounding areas outside of Jerusalem. And Sennacherib, utterly humiliated by this, with his tail between his feet, went back to Nineveh, I believe, the capital of Assyria, where his sons killed him while he was worshiping his false god in the temple. And, of course, Isaiah predicted that he would fall in this way. But it was a miraculous deliverance. As you see here, while he was worshiping the temple of his god, Nisroch, and his sons, Adrammelech and Sarezer, struck him down with the sword. So that's God's judgment. God saved Jerusalem because Sennacherib would have undoubtedly destroyed the Davidic dynasty. And as you know, the Messiah must come from the royal lineage of David. So this is why God, seeing down the corridors of time, knew that his son, the Messiah, would come through the physical lineage of David, deliver Jerusalem from the evil Sennacherib. And you can check that out on our YouTube video about Lachish. So what you're seeing here happened 2,700 years ago when the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, invaded and destroyed Lachish, as recorded in 2 Kings 18:17, 2 Chronicles 32:3 and 8, and Isaiah 36, 1 and 2. And as I just mentioned, the godly king Hezekiah made the mistake of yoking with this pagan king by paying him large sums of money for protection. To no avail. This backfired and resulted in Assyria threatening Hezekiah and Jerusalem. And you never can appease a tyrant. It never works. Okay, there's the people of Judah on top of the city, throwing heavy stones and arrows, and I'm defending it with them. Some more. That's, by the way, that plant is called the menorah plant because it looks like a menorah. And this is the palace of the kings of Judah. These are all the kings of Judah, 21 of them, and only a few were godly. I think only three were godly or two. We tried to go to Azekah, but it was hard to find. We were going to go there too. All right, so Lachish was a ghost town, but as we were leaving, an elderly Jewish man approached us out of nowhere near the exit. His name was Menachem. He displayed a very comprehensive and excellent knowledge of Lachish. We suspected he was a tour guide. He confirmed he was. When asked, and he had a small group of about four people there, he was their tour guide. August and I said we were Bible teachers, and our visit to Lachish was to teach about this city and what the scriptures say about it. Our discussion turned to the fact the whole of the biblical canon is completed with the Berit Hadashah and its final revelation identifying Yeshua of Nazareth to be the true Messiah based on the messianic prophecies he fulfilled. This is what we're telling Menachem. From this, we offered Menachem a complete Jewish Bible with messianic reading materials where he could study and know the truths about salvation in Yeshua HaMashiach. for a Jewish person. He was delighted to accept our offer that was a divine, because we were there for about an hour, maybe an hour and a half, and we were like, I guess all we're supposed to do here is teach. I wish we could find somebody to share the gospel. And we went in faith, man. We went in faith, you know. This is not a bustling metropolis out here. And there he was. Menachem came toward us, and the Lord opened the door, and we witnessed to this learned elderly man. Well, about an hour later, we finished this outreach. I say we finished it, but there's an addendum. We finished this outreach by giving a Arabic gospel tract and a Bible to Ahmed, working at a gas station. He too was happy to hear from God's word the salvation Isa, that's Arabic for Jesus, Isa, the Messiah, wrought, offering an offering to him by faith. And so he was very open to receiving the gospel, and he did so. There he is reading the Arabic gospel tract. So we thought that was pretty much it. But then the next day, this is the Valley of Elah, where David slew Goliath. We witnessed and taught, did a YouTube video teaching there in the past. There was a gas station up on the hill, in that direction this way. And we had some witness there when we went to the Valley of Elah. There is a brook down there where David got his stones. It's still there. So go ahead and I'm standing in the Valley of Elah. It's really surreal when you think about it. Okay. Yeah, that's
yeah.
I had an Orthodox guy sitting out of the screen. I'm sitting there listening to this.
Gospel outreach is completed, and we are so thankful to you who prayed and supported us throughout this ministry. I want to also thank Dr. August Rosato for once again being a big help, being an equal partner in this task. Early on, we were afflicted with a stomach virus, and when I was down, August picked up the ministry reins, and then unfortunately, August got afflicted with the same virus, and he went when I picked up the reins. We were able to pass out 39 complete.
Actually, 40, because I'm going to tell you about that in a minute.
And it was just phenomenal. By the way, this is the third straight outreach where we have had no rejection. That is unprecedented. You think of the rare times professional sports teams won championships, what we call it, could be, or a trifecta. The New York Islanders and the NHL won 3 straight Stanley Cups in the early 80s. The Boston Celtics did it in the NBA. The Green Bay Packers won 3 straight NFL championships in the 1960s. And yet, this ministry has had three straight outreaches without any rejections. Folks, thank you again for supporting us and praying for us. And again, God willing, we'll be back here in Eretz Israel, Mount Segulah, in October of this year for the 55th Gospel Outreach. Please pray for us and do more than just give us a thumbs up and a heart on Facebook. Yeah, we appreciate that, but honestly, we do need your financial support if we're going to carry this end-time ministry forward. And again, our day into today, as it is laid out in Romans 1:16, how best are we going to the Jew first, to share with Menachem, Jewish tour guide, and to the Gentile, Romans 1:16 says. And we ended up sharing with Ahmed, a Muslim young man in a gas station, sharing with him the good news of Yeshua HaMashiach. Once again, thank you for making this possible with your prayers and your financial support. And shall we go for a fourth straight perfect outreach without any rejection? Only God knows, but we're just thankful to be able to do this now for 54 times. And we look ahead for the 55th Gospel Outreach. And from Jerusalem, Shalom, Yeshua HaMashiach, with the peace of Jesus the Messiah.
All right, go to the last picture. Okay, so the next day, we were doing a teaching, When Shall These Things Be? That was the title of the teaching, from an area called Pater Noster Church. It's a Carmelite nunnery and Roman Catholic church. Tradition says that's the location where Jesus gave the Olivet Discourse in Matthew chapters 24 and 25 about the end of the present age and his return and the destruction of the second temple. And also the location where he gave the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 5. So this guy was able to get us inside there. And so we gave him a Bible. And talk about loving your enemies. August thinks this was a guy 5 months ago who cursed him out because he was trying to get them to go into that shop, promised them, oh, they can look around. Once they went in there, they were berating his people, pressuring them to buy stuff. And one of his colleagues, but this time he was not even rude in any way. And August thinks that was the same guy. This guy obviously didn't remember August. So instead, we entreated him to read the Gospels, shared with him that Esau loved him so much that he went to die on the tree for his sins, that he might have eternal life, a home in heaven, and a future rule and reign with Esau or Yeshua. And so his name, the Arab man's name, was Ahmad. And Ahmad, as you see, received a Bible and a Arabic gospel tract. And with that, the third perfect outreach is victoriously completed through pain, much sickness, and triumph in the end. The Lord Jesus gave us the power and the victory to do this for his glory and for the glory of the God of Israel. And I say now, thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the fragrance of his knowledge by us in every place in Israel. 2 Corinthians 2:14. And so, folks, I close by saying we need your help. I hate beating this dead horse. We need your financial help if we are to continue this ministry. Going to Israel is not cheap. And I want the people that go with me know that we do not stay in drab places. We gotta have nice places to stay in, not opulent, but not with air conditioning, decent food, so we can carry out this outreach with vigor and in with strength. And so, again, we need your help. If you are serious about reaching the Jews, do it, but do it responsibly. Do it with the knowledge of the Word of God and God's plan for Israel and the prophecies that Yeshua has fulfilled, showing them he is their Messiah. But you can also do it through us, by supporting us, allowing us financially to continue these outreaches. I can't think of any better time than to be doing that now as we are near approaching the return of the Lord. And the biggest sign for the second coming sooner than later, is the regathering of the Jewish people back into their ancient homeland at the end of days to become once again a nation, which God foretold would occur, and then he would return. Yeshua would return. So again, if you want to support us, you can go to that donate link, click on that, or go to our website at searchthescripturesonline.org and help us out. And God willing, next week we'll be back in, the book of Ephesians in our series called Expositing Ephesians. Until then, Shalom, Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus, the Messiah, be with you.